like a rope. But he couldn't do that. So he went back and then he trained on the rope. He figured out how to climb a rope. It's not hard. It takes like 10 minutes. He just didn't do it. He just didn't think of it. And that's what a lot of this CrossFit games does to people. It like puts them in a situation where they're like, huh? Like there was one where they had a mountain bike. And these guys are like, they ride bikes. Like they ride these air assault things. But they don't actually ride bikes. So it became like a lot of the top guys didn't do well because they didn't have like a skill of riding a bike, like over obstacles and stuff. They were having issues. Just kind of, they didn't know, like when you do a lot of mountain biking, you start to figure out there's certain kinds of terrain you can and cannot bike over. And they were hitting like sand and stuff and spinning wheels. It is just hilarious to watch. It's also hilarious too because the guy that programs it kind of gets off on messing with them a little bit, and basically comes down to like the first day that the thing is always taught. I've talked about this 100 times, the Murph, which is like run a mile on a 25-pound plate on your like bulletproof vest, like a weight vest, I guess. The guy was a special ops guy, so I'm guarantee you he was using a like armor. And then do 100 sit-ups, not with the vest on. No, 100 air squats, 100, no. It's like 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, and 300 air. This is the kind of workouts they have, too. That's the thing about it. It's not like, it's like goofy stuff. You know, some dude's sitting there going like, I'm going to run a mile with my armor on. What do you think? That's fun. Yeah, that's cool. Let's do that. Let's do 100 pull-ups. At the end, 200 push-ups and 300 air squats. There's no like scientific thought behind this. It's like, ha ha ha, what can I do to be like, how can I make this super hard? And that's kind of what I don't like about CrossFit. But what I like about watching the documentaries and watching these guys just like just go bonzo badonzo over like over this stuff. So that's 10, but I'm gonna get some bonuses here, and I'm gonna say Chariots of Fire. Okay, it's a little bit of Oscar bait. I think it actually won Oscars. And it's about like the first Olympics when they restarted doing it in 1920 or 1898 or the 20s or something. It's about these two guys. It's really focused on like the class struggle in England, because part of the reason they had made Olympic sports amateur was to keep poor people from being able to compete. The rich guys didn't want to compete with poor people. They were like, it's got to be amateur. You can't get paid to do this. That way they could keep, like, a middle-class guy out of it. Because he's not going to be able to dedicate enough time to train to be able to, like, be competitive with you so that we can keep it as an aristocratic sport while at the same time putting forth this, like, fake ideal. I think our aristocratic controlling class, so this is an English thing specifically, but I think they're still up to their old games. I still think that's what we see in our society today. We see our, you know, the upper class of our society desperately trying to keep everybody else down and doing it under such a rubric of making it seem virtuous, right? Look, virtuous. It's like, well, this is supposed to be pure and it's just for amateurs. You cannot be a professional. Like, this is something beyond. It's a virtue area. I can't have some professional. Why not? What's the difference? You're able to do it because you don't have anything else to do. That guy's able to do it because he's so much better than you. People pay him to do it. And you don't want to compete against him. So you get that little idea right there. You still see it in college sports for the most part. Those rules were put in for several reasons. One, certain school alumni would just basically buy the players. And they didn't want to get into a bidding war. Basically, they're trying to hold labor costs down. And the schools that didn't have the kind of alumni that cared enough, Alabama, to pay the players were like mad. Like, well, I can't compete with Alabama. You can't compete anyway, but I can't compete with Alabama because they've got these boosters, and these boosters pay for the players, but we can't do that. There is a bit of like kind of shystiness to that, but if it was legal, who cares? Other part of this that is important is most of the sports, including the football, there's only some football programs that make money and some basketball programs that make money, and then that's it. It's not even all of them. So when you say like, well, football players should get paid, no. Football players at certain schools should get paid. Think like Ohio State, Alabama, USC, UCLA, probably Cal. The major programs that are on TV, Oregon State, or no, University of Oregon. Once you get past those top, you know, the schools that are filling 80,000 person stadiums, because you can make money just filling the stadium, all right? Then there's TV, but really only a few teams are really getting the ratings or really pushing this forward. So how did I get here? Why am I talking about this? Amateurism, Chariots of Fire. Cool movie I watched when I was a kid. I want to go back and watch it again sometime soon. I haven't seen it since like a long time ago, and I was sort of like, oh, I guess I'm stuck watching this. They're like track guys, and they were all white. I don't know why you would do that, but I guess they did. Bloodsport. What? Yeah, you heard me. Bloodsport. It's a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. Google it. Essentially, it's like UFC before it was UFC, and it was like this no holds barred type martial arts tournament where you do whatever you want. And this guy who was in like the Air Force, he had like NCIS or whatever the equivalent is, like looking for him, wins the tournament and has the fastest knockout in all of martial arts at 3.5 seconds. In the movie, as a stunt, obviously, Van Damme does like a spinning, flying kick where he does a split in the air as he's doing the kick. Come on. Come on. Come on. You know you're loving this. Another honorable not mentioned, Raging Bull. I've never seen it. It's supposed to be like the greatest movie ever. It's black and white, and it's like, I don't know, a little too harsh for me. Same thing with On the Waterfront. It's another boxing movie. Not really there. Warrior barely makes it, but I like it. Rogan and people that really like MMA have talked about how it's like unrealistic in certain senses, but I thought it was pretty cool. It's got this whole like the loser brother going up against the successful brother, and it's, but they're doing MMA, which is like their dad's thing. It was like a pretty cool idea. I don't know, Tom Hardy and, you know, Joel Egerton kind of getting thick and going in and fighting the fight, as it were, on the silver screen. I like the movie, and that's what this really is. Not so much the historical references. That's why, like, you know, another one that's not going to make the grade is The Natural. I just don't like the movie. I know it's supposed to be a great story, Robert Redford and all, and, like, I've tried watching it, and I just sort of, Wilford Brimley's in it. I mean, how cool is that? I just can't get into it. I just can't. But here's one that is great that I would recommend you watch. Bull Durham. As a modern sensibilities, you watch this movie, it'll feel funny. It'll feel blue collar. It'll feel somehow not as sparkly and shiny as our world has become. We've become very wealthy overall in this country. Even if you yourself living in a little house, blah, 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 overall things have gotten super, super shiny. And when you watch this, you look at their locker room, you're like, there's a lot of like moments where I'm thinking to myself, when I watched it when I was a kid, I never had those thoughts because I lived in those places. Now it's been so long that I'm so used to everything being like hyper, hyper nice and polished and new, that when you see an old locker room, you're kind of like, and you keep in mind, I mean, I've slept in hangars. I lived in, for about a month, I've lived in some really bad places on MU deployments, condemned, like, barracks that were, just barely made better by the fact that they were like old, they were being used as storage. And we were made to sleep in them. Yeah. We got to save money. We're the Marine Corps. F you. Barracks that weren't condemned, but from the 1940s, like no partitions between the toilets. Even OCS had partitions between the toilets. It just didn't have doors. It was a suicide prevention. When you watch Bull Durham, it's kind of funny, and you know it's silly, and there's a he gives us, I believe, in baseball speech by Kevin Costner. It's one of Kevin Costner's best movies. I would say if I was doing a Kevin Costner retrospective, this one and No Way Out would be like one and two. I would tell you to watch Waterworld and The Postman because he desperately wanted to be Mad Max. Tried. He did succeed in making Mad Max on water. It just didn't work all that well. Another movie I'm gonna call sports: A Terminal Bliss. Okay, this isn't so much a sports movie. It involves sports. I'm turning it on there because it's the only movie I know of that really features lacrosse in a major way. Now there's a lot of lacrosse in American Pie. One of the characters on the lacrosse team. But you can't pull American Pie into being a sports movie. I can make Terminal Bliss kind of be a sports movie. The two main characters were on the team together. There's a lot of lacrosse scenes shot. It plays somewhat of a pivotal role in it. It's mainly about people with drug problems in high school, which is, you know, whatever that is. But so I'm just kind of stretching the idea of what a sports movie is at this point. But I really wanted to throw that one in there. That one, like, came to mind almost right away, actually. Just for that reason. There's not a whole lot of, like, lacrosse movies out there. Another honorable dismention, Rudy. Fuck you, Rudy. I don't like that movie. I couldn't watch it. I tried to watch it because everyone told me how good it was, and I couldn't because I found it to be not fun. You know, I don't find it, like, interesting to me that you're going to let this dude. You get this weird guy who, not weird guy, you get this dude that's just not a football player, and he won't give up not being a football player. Like, dude, there's a point where you have to just go, like, that's not for me. Like, I'm not going to be this thing because I just don't have the right innate characteristics. Now, some people may say, like, Nick, that's the whole point. Well, whatever. I just don't particularly like that sort of thing. You know, when I was in high school, I think that my senior year or homecoming queen was either some kind of weird joke that the other students played on her, or the administration chose this girl. She wasn't voted in because it was too weak. She was really friendly. And a happy, positive person. It remains that to this day, and I have nothing against her, but usually the homecoming queen is the prettiest girl. When I was a sophomore in high school, the girl that was homecoming queen was just a epic sort of delinquent. Do you know what I mean? Like, she wasn't a good person in the school's eyes. She was the type of person that was, like, cutting class, doing drugs, didn't have good grades, whatchamacallit, that sort of thing. Wasn't really involved in any after school clubs. And then by the time I'm a senior, I can't remember what happened junior, but by the time I'm a senior, it's like they chose these, but she was super good looking. This woman now is like 45 and looks 35. Facebook friends. She's smoking hot. Still smoking hot. I remember the first time I saw her was at a pool at this place called Town and Country. And it was like she was glowing. Like there's some weird halo around her. Now I know that that's just like some psychological effect or something, but that's what my memory is. Me and my buddy were so like transfixed. We were just sitting there like, just utterly, like, what is that creature? She went to my middle school, but I guess I didn't notice before. Anyway, she becomes homecoming queen, which is perfectly exactly what's going to happen. She's just the cutest girl. you know, arguably the cutest girl that year, that's a senior that year. You know, I look back on most of the people that were chosen for this. They're more or less the best looking. And, but now that I know some things about how these things are done, and even then someone told me, I can't remember, it was a couple years later, that that girl that was chosen our senior year was chosen by the administration as being the most, like, deserving of, in quotes. Well, that's not what this is. We're supposed to be voting on this. You're corrupting a process. Don't have voting then. Just make it some other thing. It was the same thing when I remember my football coach was like, do you want to be a team captain? And I'm like, if I get voted in, I'll do it. Otherwise, I don't care. It's up to them. If they decide to pick me, I'll do it. If they don't, I won't. Because I honor the process. To me, that's corrupt. You know, in that case, like, I've talked about this guy 100 times. And, like, my ins and outs with my high school football coach. Something got him for almost 45. But in this particular case, I do think he was vehemently wrong. Whatever, if you're going to have a voting system, have a voting system. Allow it to work its way through. Don't have a voting system where people think they're voting, but really, it's already predetermined. Or it's just, I mean, are you even looking at the votes that they're voting in? Because I do have a strong feeling that I would have voted, like, because in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to be voted in. Right? It's not common for underclassmen to, like, non-seniors to do this, but, you know, it's plausible, right? You know, especially because the class above us had no real players. All the guys on the team were, like, my friends and et cetera, et cetera. So it's like, it's possible that I could be voted in, or possibly that I don't. And if I do, I am. And then when, you know, afterwards, having him ask me if I, it was like, I knew it was corrupted. I knew that year that there was, as it was as likely that I had actually been voted team captain, but he didn't let me do it because I didn't express a desire to do it, as it was that I wasn't voted in. Either one was a completely and utterly possible. The people that were voted in as team captains may or may not have been the actual recipients of the vote. I don't know. The one kid, definitely, I would say. But the rest, who knows? You know what? No, I take it back. Who knows? I don't know. I can't say. Now I know that the system is corrupt. I know you're corrupt. So now I know that whatever the outcome of this is may or may not be real. So I know that it happened. And by the way, you're thinking to yourself, well, what's the big deal? Like, you're talking about, like, high school captain on a football team? Bro, really, there's more important things in life. Yes, there are. But you know who does care? If you're the captain of the football team, the Naval Academy, Harvard, University of Maryland, University of I'll Let You In No Matter What even cares to get into their honors and programs. This stuff matters. It's important. It's really important, actually, because it's going to affect where you go to school. At the time, I could have cared less. I really didn't care. In my senior year for the lacrosse team as well, I realized, like, oh, whoever was voted captain may or may not have actually been who received the votes. Who knows? And I look back on the guys that were captains my senior year, and I would say potentially one of them, because I can't imagine, there was three of them. One of them, I can't imagine him not being the captain. It's, like, impossible for me to assume anybody else would have done it but this dude. Another of the guys, yeah, sure, why not? And a third, I'm like, really? I found it odd that he was chosen. And again, I didn't care at the time, and now I do care, because I'm like, look, you're affecting college admissions by putting someone you think would be. Now, if you want to just assign it, don't have some, like, mock election, like, fake election thing that you're going to ignore. Just assign it. Just be like, our team captain is going to be these three guys. I think they'll make the best leaders. Or you could have it like, hey, we're going to have four team captains. I'm going to pick two. All right, I'm going to tell you who they were ahead of time. It's going to be Mike and Joe. And I want you guys to pick two. It'll be like your reps. And then no matter what, oh, you picked the idiot? okay, idiot's the team captain. And it's the same thing with this, like, homecoming queen thing. Like, once you find out that, because that process wasn't corrupt at some point. Because they didn't want that. They were mad. The school administration was mad that this girl had become the homecoming queen because they believed her to not be worthy of being homecoming queen for, you know, the aforementioned fact that she was just not. She was just there. You know, like the usually the kind of kids that the admin loves are either like the very well behaved, good attendance, good grades, active members. I think more than the good grades, they care about things like general persona and like how active you are, or how much of like a positive influence you're having. Because I got a buddy that went through, was like a beloved kid, but he wasn't like a 4.0 student. They loved him. But he didn't have a 4.0 just because of his general good attitude, right? Just generally had like a very positive, upbeat, drug-free, alcohol-free, of course, is huge. He had that. They loved him, right? There were other students there with like much better grades and like much better stuff that these guys could have done without and or didn't care about, right? There's a bunch of nerds, I'm sure, that went through with 4.0s, that they just did their school thing and they went to their, they did their couple clubs. Because a lot of these clubs, I think they like, they don't meet very often. So you join like, I don't know, chess club. You join chess club and it meets once a month. So you're not really like, you're participating in stuff, but not that much. My thing was always sports. And that's basically the only thing I did at the school. I volunteered. I tutored kids in Baltimore for a bit. But, all right, I went way too off topic. So, just a recap of, like, I got through 15. There's way more. But, of course, I veer off. But I'm just going to throw out, these are some of the best sports movies. I'm sure if you reminded me about something, I would remember that this other movie was, like, better, you know, like sports related movie, Oxford Blues, maybe I should have thought of. So I guess I got to 16. Oxford Blues, Hoosiers, Major League, Bad News Bears, Varsity Blues, Rocky IV, Caddyshack, Happy Gilmore, Victory, Pumping Iron, any CrossFit documentary you can find, Chariots of Fire, Bloodsport, Bull Durham, Terminal Bliss. One word I cannot read. I can't even remember what I said like 20 minutes ago. It's hilarious. But for real, I really can't. It looks like I wrote Warina or something. Terminal Bliss, Oxford Blues. Oh, Wimbledon. It's another good sports movie centered around the Fortnite. It's kind of a love story centered around on Wimbledon. There's a HBO movie. I can't remember what it's called, about the longest tennis match ever. So there's a documentary that's pretty funny, and then there's like a mockumentary made about it, which is pretty. Thanks for listening. Bye.